this here is me, and I'm on the Shapeless Mass podcast from podcast.shapelessmass.com. Oh, hell, I can't read this shit. In fact, I can't even read.
Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, braced and ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
People who are starving to death and can't cook their own food go to enjoy eating
at midnight.
There you go.
So Paul here is here. He's here to answer some questions about life, the universe, and everything. So all the other previous podcasts have been questions, and this is the answer. This is ready to answer. Mm-hmm. Paul.
Hey, this is the answer. It's also brought to us this week by Mitt Romney.
It's this century's nightmare, Mitt Romney. And I approve a violent, radical fundamentalism. Our goal is to unite the world under a single military caliphate. To do that, we collapse freedom-loving nations. As president, I'll increase our nuclear weapons by at least 100,000 and monitor the calls America makes. And we can and will stop intelligence. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Yeah, Mitt Romney.
He's running Democrat, right?
I think he's running jihadism.
Yeah.
American jihadism. You should hear the edited version. It's pretty funny.
Well.
That's the unedited one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hard to tell them apart, actually.
Huh?
Hard to tell them apart, actually.
He's both got pictures in him. That's good enough for me. Hell. I like them pictures, especially when he's moving and he's talking. That's when he's funny.
Flicking off the book.
You America. Hopefully. Hopefully you listen to this online at podcast.shapelessmass.com and not through the metal fillings in your head.
Maybe at work eating some Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be weird? So we're eating Taco Bell too.
Please don't be hungry as we eat this Taco Bell in your ear.
So what are you...
We're not trying to imply anything, just...
What are you eating over there? What you got? Describe it for the audience.
Well, I went to got Taco Bell and I got, tacos, right?
Oh, you got a big old 10-pack or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in for
a pizza
crunch.
Yeah, so that was Amber and certain other viewers that you know who I am.
Yeah. Who did you get it?
The secret king of France.
There is none higher. Sucker and feet to call you what?
I'm sorry, what?
So what did you get to talk about, Sean?
Well,
I mean, EBA.
Well, Ian.
No, Sir Mildred.
I mean, Sir Mildred. At Taco Bell, I got a double helping of food. Simulated byproducts of others.
Otherwise known as the number one combo.
I got the
meat. And despite the complaints, he enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know what they put into it's food at Taco Bell.
I do.
I don't suspect it's.
For the ingredients.
But anyway, it sure is damn tasty.
And you really want to know what they put into the tacos?
Please remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
You can visit us online at podcast.shamelessmass.com or look at myspace.com/shamelessmasscast. And you can be online at shamelessmass.com. You can visit a bunch of groups online. Yes, you can visit him online. I'm not going to tell you where. It's a secret. And, we're going to go to the quick, say it quick.
35,000.com.
But that's full now. So, we're going to play a song.
Let's play
I said maybe. I'm saying some ball.
So if you remember the tacos, do you have a Satan gave me a taco?
Yes, I do. Excellent.
Satan gave me a taco?
Yeah.
We're going to play it back.
Oh, well, by the way, whenever he played the song, did you bring an iPod?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to guess it, because I guessed all three of his weird, eclectic songs last time. So I'll see if he...
I want to...
I know, but that's weird and obscure.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to play Shady Town.
Not Fishheads. Yeah, that's right.
But it's Apple Fishheads.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway.
I think after Satan gave me a taco, I'm going to follow it up with a song by Aesop Rock.
Is it about tacos?
Yes, it's about tacos.
All right.
Satan gave me a taco and it made me really sick. The chicken was all raw and the grease was mighty thick. The rice was all rancid and the beans were so hard. I was getting kinda dizzy, eating all the lard. There was aphids on the lettuce and I ate every one. And after I was done, the salsa melted off my tongue. Pieces of tortilla got stuck in my throat, and the stains on my clothes burned a hole through my coat. My stomach was trembling, I broke out in a rash. I was so dry and thirsty, and I didn't have no cash. So I went and found a hose, tore off all my clothes, turned on the water and it shot right up my nose. Some old lady came along and she thought I was a freak. So she beat me with a handbag till I could hardly speak. I was lying there naked, my body badly bruised in a pool of my own blood, unconscious and confused. When the cops came and got me and threw me in their van, and I woke up on the ceiling and I couldn't find my hand. They took me to the judge, his eyes are glowing red. The courtroom was filled with witches and the dead. Well, the sheriff was a hellhound with fangs and claws. The prisoners were tied up and chained to the walls. The air was getting thick, the smoke was getting thicker. The judge read the verdict, said, cut off his head. Well, they placed me on the altar and they raised up the axe. My head was about to explode when I noticed the marshal stacks. I noticed all the smoke machines, cameras and the lights. Some guy with a microphone running around dancing in tights. And I noticed the crew and the band playing down below. And I realized I was in a rock video. So I went and joined the band. Then I went out on tour. And I smoked a lot of heroin, and I passed out in the north. I made out with the groupies, started fires backstage, made a lot of money, and I gave it all away. Well, the band got killed, so I started a solo.
Parachute ready. one bunk court that I ever scooped badly. Dripping out the sticks like a twig tweed hammock. Miter cut the cables for that quick clean transit. Miter took the big screen, panic knit a business card, angle out of whack. Painkiller tobacco scrappy, navigate the yellow corn. Hype in a barn when a spotlight swivel hard right over the farm. Post up, three cheers for the gimp sprint, thank you. Limp to the door, splint what he mangles. Oh yeah, I knew the percentages, but the numbers were unaware of the grand finale's emphasis. And over the set of 1,000 dead dogs, Agent Zip Zuka swore to pull it off. Game face, walkie-talkie squawking up his hip, guarding paratroopers 20. Tug a noise box trigger, reporting for hunting.
I am landed safely, I have not received my papers. I have zero natural enemies, I don't know my location. I am no training in reconnaissance, combat or colluding. I'm calling for my orders, over.
Put a killer horse, numb and bloodthirsty. Till the uncle spitter beg a jungle pig to hug mercy. 240 beloved shit kickers tickle the corpses. Duck the Widowmaker also manufactures ornaments. Manufacture ornaments, if it moves, stick a fork in it. Winners take all, killers rape all coordinates. Unfortunately, thwarted by the most tenacious guardian whose aimless nature made a holler when I taste the martyr's skin. No Zephyr 5, no saluter unit. Soldier, the fire is more flesh than sulfur. And when the automatic jitters wiggle the ribs, I feel so alive. It don't matter which bitch's litter is flipping. Sundown, goggle up, canteen, gobble juice, tear gas, nozzle up, brain buff, hostile youth, chop it up, lock a noose upon it. You will die for the glory of shit. I can't put my finger on it, but it's big, big and legitimate. Justify women and kitty killer shit, illiterate builds. So he is not a natural predator, but could dismantle an AK-47 cleaner and build before you could mate a brethren. Muddy gut, snake eyes. He approaches cobras with an ugly muck and bloody Bowie knife, glancing a canine. Wake him with that blind military mechanism set to bludgeon. What is your major malfunction?
I am landed safely. I have not received my papers. I am zero natural enemies. I don't know my location. I am no training in reconnaissance, combat or colluding. I'm calling for my orders, over. I'm standing in a tent with a pocket full of weapons and a will of war compiled with the same fatigue that I've left. And I have yet to find my name worthy of my saluting. I'm calling for my orders, over.
I should be a bat of the foxhole, disorderly, only after having logged every cadaver accordingly. High scores keep automatons enthralled. Okay, if his perspective is murked, sneaky detective work is aborted, and it's no longer whisper mode on the red alert. No better dirt, sniper rifle peeking out the bunker. Now I'm center city looking for something to puncture. Help me up the numbers that a hero status suffers. Treat the public like a tin can riddled before it plummets. But adrenaline could lead to lazy eye hassle. So we missed a little boy instead of picking out the pineapple. That's funny, bumps into the steel toe. That's lovely, sum it up in. And just as quick as the parachute cable snipped, I was ragged all horizontal, two limbs short of fix. Lake a baby pool around the standard issue weaponry while fading as a blemish in civility's memory. They will step over the body for the looting.
Ready on the firing line.
What the fuck is that?
Strap on a helmet and start.
I am landed safely. I have not received my papers. I have zero natural enemies. I don't know my location. I have no training in reconnaissance, combat or colluding. I'm calling for my orders, over.
Strap on a helmet and start.
I was standing in a tent with a pocket full of weapons and the will of war compiled in the same fatigue that I slept in. I have yet to find my name like worthy of my saluting. I'm calling for my orders, over.
Strap on a helmet and start.
Yes, the always cheerful Aesop Rock with Winners Take All.
Cool. So I got.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Anyway, since we're already talking about it, let's just go ahead and jump right into our increasingly inaccurately named Tech Call of the Week section. Since there's not going to be any tech calls, and it's going to be more Paul bitching about the shop. But I promise we're not going to spend the whole episode with Paul bitching about the shop. We're mainly going to focus on what happened last night.
Well, I'll allow you to start based on what you saw, and I'll fill in your gaps.
I drive up there to ask him if he and Chris, who didn't come tonight, are going to come to the podcast. And I come up, and there's cops. And at first, I didn't put the cops together with the shop. I didn't put two and two together and realize. And I walk in the shop, and I'm like, and Richard is there. Apparently, this drunk-ass redneck motherfucker and his son come in to get a tattoo, and the father, who is drunk, is not satisfied with the way the tattoo looks. So he decides the best thing to do is to call the cops. Because that's what the cops do. They, you know, make sure the tattoos look good.
Yeah. About transaction disputes.
Yeah. Now, here's where I can make sense of everything. The story actually starts about 4 months ago when a young man comes in to get a tattoo. His drunken father, who doesn't want him to do it, comes in with him to make sure that what his son is getting is what his son really wants. Because the son, of course, being an 18-year-old youth, he can't think for himself. He needs his drunken father to do that for him because alcohol plus brain equals better logic. We all know that. Now, son got a tattoo. I'm not going to mention too much, but it features some lettering. And the lettering, there were a few problems with it here and there, but they were like repairable problems. So, dad, of course, in his drunken logic, brings the kid back the following day after the kid received the tattoo and goes, "It ain't right, and y'all need to fix it, because that ain't right, and that ain't shit. That's wrong, and y'all ain't, and this ain't, and now." And, you know, Chris, who actually was a part of the tattoo process, the person who was in here tonight, he told the father and the son, "Look, I stand behind my work. I will take care of it. So once the tattoo heals, which should be about 3 weeks from now, come back. We'll talk about it. We'll get it taken care of. And make sure that you are satisfied, because that's what we do as tattoo artists in this shop. We make our customers happy." So, Chris did a tattoo on a kid. Dad didn't like it because he's a drunk asshole. And he told kid he didn't like it, so kid, of course, followed. Now, the lettering in said tattoo wasn't flawless, but it could be repaired. Because it could be, because Chris is a tattoo artist. He's surrounded by people who can help him. God forbid to even do the tattoo. So he doesn't have to worry about it, you know? The point is, a tattoo was imperfect based on a customer's father's reaction to it, okay? Now, cut to 3 months later. They demand that the tattoo be touched up, okay? Chris says, "Okay, fine, we'll take care of it. You know, it's fully healed. We'll get you taken care of. Come back on a Sunday, weekend, that kind of thing, so we can get you taken care of." Jump ahead to last night, Thursday, okay? They had to get their tattoo fixed that day because son had about 4 hours sleep, and he'd been working 12-hour shifts, so he was tired and not rested, so it was a good day to get a tattoo. Dad had been knocking back alcohol pretty much, I guess, since he turned 30.
It sounds like that's Dad's full-time job.
Yes, and of course, telling everyone around them how to do everything that, you know, the way he would do it, despite the fact that he doesn't bother. So, they're there to get the tattoo touched up. And, okay, so, you know, like I talked to the father and kid, you know, trying to get them ready for Chris to, because Chris wasn't there yet. Chris comes in, and I say, "Okay, you know, here's your father and son team." They discuss for things for a while. They talk about what they can do to touch a tattoo up. And, you know, Chris comes up with a solution that the son and father at the time could appreciate. So they sit the kid down in a chair and begin to work. And Dad starts in his usual shenanigans. "Why aren't you? Why is this? What is that? I don't understand. What the hell is that? I don't like this and any other." It's like, "Sir, you're disturbing the tattoo again. Okay? You need to go."
That's
me. Okay. I'm like, "You need to go. Because, you know, he has to work with the kid. They're taking care of it. You, drunk asshole, you gotta go. We need you to leave." And he's like, "Well, I gotta go, because I'm allowed to be in here." And okay, "You're allowed to be in here as long as we say so. We say you have to leave. Okay, go." And, of course, he just refused to leave. And he's like, "Well, why? Why? Because you're drunk, okay? I can smell you talking, and you're stumbling through your words, and you're not making any sense, and you're rocking back and forth, and I'm standing here talking to you. You're drunk. You gotta go.
Okay?
He goes, how do you know I'm drunk? Do you have a breathalyzer? Yes, I do. Anybody who works in a gas station or has been to CVS, the little breathalyzer strips, you can buy those, stick on the person's tongue, let them, you know, see, check the alcohol content, and tell them, you know, yeah, you can't drive, or yeah, you shouldn't drive, or whatever. Point is, I had some of those, I was gonna go get them. And the guy goes, well, black guy with them dreads, maybe need to test you for marijuana. Okay, we don't need a breathalyzer, get the fuck out now. Okay? You gonna make the racial comments and shit? You gotta go. I ain't made no racial comments! Quick, you know what a racial comment is? Well, I got it. Yeah, get the fuck out of here, you drunk asshole. And, you know, so I put him out, and he goes down the street, and of course, where does he run to? The pub. As he's knocking back beers and, you know, talking about how that black guy out there telling him what to do, he ain't got no right to do that, because that's my son in there, and that tattoo ain't right. So, you know, a couple hours later, Chris and Peter still working on the tattoo, trying to get everything looking right. Chris has made several, you know, changes to the tattoo, and son's like, oh, that's okay, that's okay. Dad comes storming back in because, you know, he's had enough liquid courage now to, you know, to emphasize his point. He comes back in, you know, and he's standing there over Chris. Hadn't said a word yet because he knows what's happening if he does, because I can smell him talking. He's got to go. He established that. So he's standing over Chris's shoulder. Chris and the kid are talking. Chris goes to the kid, okay, I've done what I think needs to happen. What do you think? That ain't right, goddammit! Because Dad, you know, he just can't take it anymore. That ain't right, and this, it don't look right to me, and all this. And of course, Kid, who's, I'm sure, used to a few beatings back when he was about 8 or 9, you know, I love you, Dad. You're not a Budweiser! You know, so, you know, Dad, again, child can't think in, you know, in Dad's presence, so Dad doesn't like it again, ergo, child doesn't like it again. And, you know, arguments ensue, and they're both jumping down Chris's throat because, you know, Dad's aesthetics, you know, which are all alcohol-based, aren't with what, you know, happened here. So, and I go, look, they're working on your son's tattoo. They are working together on your son's tattoo. They're working on it. You are drunk and interfering. You need to remove yourself, and once your son, who's old enough to get a tattoo, ergo make up his own mind, and the tattoo artists come together, then we can, you know, come to something, some kind of agreement, and things will be okay. Dad, you know, of course, is like, you know, I refuse to be bossed around by some marijuana smoking so-and-so. You know, if y'all don't fix the damn tattoo, I'll call the police. And I'm like, you know, all you have to do is let them talk, and they'll take care of everything. You need to calm down. I'll call them. You can't tell me what to do. You know what? Call the fucking police. You're drunk. I'm sure you can make a convincing case based on that fucking slurring you're doing. Call the police. If you can't do it, if you can't get your finger to touch the numbers correctly, I'll help you. You know, I'll dial it for you. You can talk to them. You know, call them. You know where you are, right? You know the address? I can give it to you. Wrote it down for them, you know. The cops came. And of course, you know, the cops are like, okay, what's wrong? Okay, according to Dad's alcoholic aesthetic, the tattoo we gave his son is incorrect. That was his argument. He never got around to making it because he was all wrapped up in the fact that the tattoo ain't right, and the tattoo ain't right, and the tattoo ain't... Because that's the only sentence you know how to make at that point. So an officer goes, okay, thank you for your input. Okay, you, what's going on here? And I said, okay, according to Dad's aesthetic, he doesn't feel this tattoo has been done correctly, and we are trying to... It ain't right! And, you know, a cop will hold his finger like a few, like so many times. After about the fourth time he has to hold his finger to say, shut the fuck up, then you now have his full attention. Okay, and this guy did this to two officers, and then when the senior officer arrived on scene, did it to him. And you don't cut off a 40-year-old cop who's trying to talk. What happens when you do that? I mean, anybody who's hearing this? Yeah. And so, you know, finally, the cop takes a guy by the arm and goes, take him off to the side, and you see a lot of pointed talking and a lot of heated finger pointing, and it's like...
From the cop.
Because, Dad, you know, you can't point your finger when you're rocking back and forth trying to maintain, you know, the balance between that beer gut and that mullet. It's like,
I don't know. Some people might be able to maintain that kind of...
Well, some can do it.
He did have a mullet, by the way. He had a champion.
It was carefully sculpted. Nice and spiky on top, long and back. He was a redneck mullet pro, okay? You cannot argue with this man. Well, you can't argue with him. It's just going to take a while, and you got to smell that beer. But, you know, in the end, you know, he pissed off the cops, and the cops, you know, got, you know, me and Chris representing the tattoo shop, the kid representing himself, and dad representing, you know, alcoholics everywhere, and went, look, here's the story. Kid, you're not happy. They want to make you happy. Can they make you happy? Well, yeah, I mean, I just want to make sure my tattoo's fixed. And tattoo shop representatives, can you take care of that? Yes, we can, and we can do it without dad's interference. That ain't right! God damn it, shut up, you know. You, unless you have a damn good reason to be on the street or anywhere where I can turn around and see you, don't be here. Because if I see you and you don't have a reason for being in my presence, jail. Okay? I use as few words as possible. I know all that got in. Okay? You drunk asshole. So, dad and son took off in their respective cars. I'm not sure how dad did that or, you know.
Well, the cops let him do it?
Well, the cops said, okay, you can go now. I'm not sure if he drove away right away. I hope he did. I wish he would have. I would have loved to see the chase after that. It's like, oh, you told me to go home. My DNC had to be sober first. God, it would have been beautiful.
It went from an episode with the cops to an episode of cops.
It was an episode of cops when he storms outside because that too ain't right in his aesthetic opinion, you know? Which is, I mean, and again, that was his main argument. The fact that he saw pictures and knew of tattoos that existed in the world that weren't up to snuff, you know, that made a tattoo that Chris did, not the snuff. And that was his main argument that he tried to make using that one sentence and all the slurring and stumbling, you know? And, you know, it's
so every tattoo. Was the kid happy with the tattoo when he left, though? Or is he coming back?
He's coming back because he's not sure if he's happy.
Right.
Why is he not sure if he's happy? Because he had 4 hours sleep, worked a 12-hour shift, and been in the presence of his alcoholic father who thinks for him. You know?
So
I mean, if this were a movie, you would see this kid, you know, surrounded by a bunch of doctors in an asylum going, oh, we can't help him, but how? You know? Because, I've never had an alcoholic relative, thank God, but, you know, to be plagued, to be forced to think according to someone else's wishes when the person in question can't spell wishes or desire or can't make a sentence or enjoy family life unless there's some sort of, you know, brain-numbing alcohol nearby to keep them from having to participate fully, you know? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, like you see the wives, it's like on Oprah or whatever. Okay, missing teeth, black eyes. Why are you still with him? He compels me to stay with him. It's called violence, honey. You've been wrestled into submission, and you don't know what the hell to do about it because you've lost the ability to think for yourself. Okay? If whoever it is you're dealing with can't deal with reality and prefers to just beat you to the point where you can't see reality either, there's a problem there. That's where AA groups or police or, you know, a nice quiet farmland with a shotgun would solve the problem.
Icy cold hand of death.
You know, I mean, there's a limit. You can't keep, you know, subduing.
You're talking about the kid, right?
Yeah, I mean, the kid is not happy with his tattoo. He thinks, according to his father screaming in his ear. I'm not sure what the kid thinks. I'm not sure if the kid knows.
So if you're listening, kid, I'm sure if he's listening, he knows we're talking about him.
Yeah, I hope
think
to,
for yourself, man.
I
think
hope
for
to
yourself.
The heavens that, you know, the AA trucks come and take him away.
The AA trucks? The Alcoholics Anonymous trucks?
Let's say. You know, AA, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, AA Meats, you know, the people that make meats for Taco Bell, whoever, okay?
Well, to follow that story up, I have just a song.
I get drunk and I stumble to the phone and conjure up a bitch to bone when I'm alone. Bullshit, I told back I need to take a piss. Only when I'm drunk I sing a song like this. My grandma and your grandma sitting by the fire. Hold on, turn the beat off.
No, keep it going. Django, can you make it?
I'm just not knowing. I get drunk and start talking more shit. And when I got a gun in my hand, you better get out. Cause my brain just ain't what it used to be. Forget trying to rationalize, cover your eyes. Damn, I'm drunk, I need a chunk, no better yet a hunk of that funk. When I get drunk, I might act uncouth, but when I get drunk, I always tell the truth. Yeah, I'm good, bad, dope, I'm freaky fresh. I make hip-hop fans say yes, yes, the lick's coming through. You know we gonna blow up, hold up, load up, I think I gotta... Damn, false alarm. I'm getting all the ladies with my cool charm. When I get drunk, I might even call my daddy a punk. Yeah, but only when I'm drunk.
Only when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
Only when I'm drunk.
Let me pass the 40 to my nigga.
It goes one for the chronic, two for the amnesia. It's the pimp slap Nicky with drinks in the freezer. Bust a one apple, two apple type of rapper that'll get you out your seat quicker than a carjacker. Slip a code 40 fever when I'm cooler with my people. Got hoes in East Columbus like I'm Billy D. Rico, cause I move like I'm smooth, like I'm Harry Belafonte. Looking for them niggas that jump my homie Dante. All up in this bitch with the gin and Tango Ray. Drink like Mr. Window, smoke buds like Dr. Dre. But that's cause I'm old enough to do that type of shit. God damn, I gotta piss, I passed the mic to E. Swift. Yeah, I get drunk and can't nobody whoop me. I'm tripping, must be the brew that I was sipping kicking in. Guess I shouldn't have mixed it with the gin, cause when I'm laying on my back I can feel the room spin. One too many, I reckon, feeling like Oscar Earl any second. Wanna get up but can't move, feels like I'm stuck in the groove. What the fuck was I trying to prove? I got a rep for down the four O's. All the hoes knows them alcoholic bros. Niggas call me dead, I keep a fifth in the trunk. Might fuck a ugly bitch, but only when I'm drunk. Yeah, only when I'm drunk. Only when I'm drunk. Yeah, only when I'm drunk. Only when I'm drunk. I think I'm feeling a little better. Just ready to bust this like this, and you don't miss. Check it out. I get drunk and start thinking about my friends that passed on. With every 40 ounce, the memory will last on. Black Man, Muzzle, Mike Lee, and Suave D. The three MCs will always live in my memories. We used to rock shows, we used to rock hoes, and drink 40-0s and wear the same clothes. Damn, I wish we could go through it again, but I know one day we gonna do it again. And when the day comes, it's gonna be live. But I ain't in no hurry, so we don't drink and drive. The alcoholics, we get funky when we drinking. Just a little something to pump up the thinking.
Only when we drunk. Only when we drunk. Only when we drunk.
No.
Only when we drunk.
Beer run. Any up bigger. Put the money in the hat.
Thank you.
And of course, Sir Mildred, who has made it a point to make sure that he knows I'm predictable, has figured it out.
I don't think you're predictable.
Okay, so you know exactly what it was. And what it was,
right? No, I don't know who that was. I was trying to think of some people. Everybody I thought of was like British. Oh, do you want me to go ahead and guess, even though I don't know who it is?
You know who it is.
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
So go for it.
Well,
we're waiting.
Would you please say something?
Yes,
so we can move on.
M83.
And those of you playing
the
MC Honky.
MC Honky.
And the song is called
Soft Velvety Fur.
Soft Velvety Fur. The password is Cockazoo.
Ding! I just think of the last time you were here.
Do we have a game?
You want to play a game?
Yeah.
This week's game.
So we're playing the game we play the most, which is this. Versus this. This makes a serial character versus serial killer.
Serial character, example?
As in a character from an advertisement or from a box,
Jeffrey Dahmer,
et cetera.
Versus mass murderer.
Versus mass murderer. Now, these are historical, so it's not within necessarily our lifetimes. It could be from our parents' childhood, or it could be from ancient history. It could be from, you know, any time in American history that serial killers have existed.
So these people may have either fed or killed our parents.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes. Okay.
So here we go. Lovable truly.
Oh, I hope it's a serial killer.
Is it? Yes.
You said they started out easy, so I'm gonna have to say that's a serial character.
I'm standing behind killer.
So who's right?
Yeah,
you were right. So,
team one. Do you have a name for your team?
Sexy Pear.
Okay, so the sexy pear.
Quaho. Okay, you lose points for that, you pathetic
so-and-so. Quaho.
Quaho or Quaho?
Watch out for the Quaho.
Q-U-E-H-O.
They're coming at you in the night, man.
I'll go with promotional serial character.
Promotional killer.
And Mr. Pierce gets a second point. Yes. Well, Mr. Pierce's team.
Yes.
Antoinette.
Well, the dirty pair. Oh, no, wait, the sexy pair.
The sexy pair.
Sexy pair.
And is there a name for your team?
Huh?
What's your name for your team?
Quaho. Intelligence within the idiocracy.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just call him Quaho.
I.
Okay.
There you go.
Antoinette Tiger.
Antoinette Tiger?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll go with killer again. That sounds kind of strange.
Antoinette Tiger is a serial character. If you had to guess.
What serial?
She is Tony the Tiger's sister or daughter or cousin or something.
Or maybe all three.
So Frosty Flakes. Yes, maybe all three. Possible.
Antoinette.
Wendell Crunch.
This sounds way too obvious to me.
Wendell Crunch.
He's not.
Yeah, he's a Saturday morning spoon pusher. Yeah.
So he said serial character. You know, agree?
Yeah.
That's a serial character. That is actually the main baker from Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Tom Corbett.
Let's see.
Yeah, we'll go with murderer.
Was murderer?
Yeah.
Okay.
That actually is a serial character for Kellogg's Pep.
I know, that's why
Bella Kiss.
I'm gonna say serial killer.
I'm going to take my neither on this one. If I'm wrong, tell me at the end of the game. I'm gonna put my neither flag in this mound here.
You sure you want me to tell you at the end of the game?
Yes.
Just tell us now. Would you at least tell me?
Oh, come on. It'll add some suspense. We'll make the podcast
interesting. He's going to know as soon as I tell him. I mean,
Yeah, that's a good point. I want to find out if I'm right.
It's a serial killer.
What did I say?
Oh, come on, man.
That's a serial killer.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well,
you still can come back. You still can come back.
Yeah.
Herbert Mullen.
How many neither flags do I get?
I'm going to be nice and say it's not neither, okay? I'm going to be nice and tell
you. This is a thrill.
Painful watching this.
I don't know my mass murderers. I apologize. I should sit in my room, you know, listening to, you know, all sorts of my sad songs.
Fucking guess. It's more. It can only be one or the other.
Okay, say it one more time.
Herbert Mullen.
Yeah, there's death attached to that.
What do you say?
What do you say?
I think serial killer.
Yeah, me too.
Serial killer?
Yeah.
All right, serial killer. Okay, Phil Flash.
Yeah, he's not pushing cereal, and I doubt if anybody named Flash would be that stressed out.
You're not going to say neither, are you?
Yes, I am. Fuck that. No. He is a happy individual.
I'm tempted to say neither also, but...
That's a happy individual. Neither.
Kind of. Yeah, cereal characters often are. I'm going to go cereal character.
It's cereal character.
So there are 20 at this point.
No, they're not 20.
What is it?
16.
There you go.
Okay, now is it possible to lose?
No, because we're not even halfway through yet.
Okay. Oh, quick, guys, quick question. Flash? Flash guy?
Oh, it was Inside Scoop.
Inside Scoop? When was that?
It was in the 80s, because I remember it.
Mm. Inside Scoop? During the sugar years, I guess.
Yeah.
Because that's when I started that cycle. You can't keep dosing our kids with sugar.
I remember seeing commercials from the future. Anyway. Horatio Magellan Crunch.
Are you serious?
That's serious.
I'm tempted to say neither. It almost sounds like a parody of Captain Crunch. Instead of, like, maybe a relic.
Say that name again.
Horatio Magellan Crunch.
That's his full name, isn't it? Oh, but wait. Yes, serial character, and that is his full name, isn't it? It's an attached question.
I'm going to go serial character.
Thanks, Paul. It's always a good idea to blurt out the correct answer when you know it that confidently. We should play poker sometime. But yes, it is the actual full name of Captain Crunch, and you got that one right.
Yeah. Why do I know that? Once upon a time, he sponsored school events.
Did he really?
Yes.
Okay, well, there's Ivan Milat, M-I-L-A-T, or maybe it's Malay.
Yeah, I'll go with cereal.
What's his first name again?
Ivan.
Ivan. I'll let him go. I'll let him go. He has no death there. He has no death. I've been wrong before, but fuck it.
There are a lot of Russian.
She was singing. She was singing French burlesque. That's a Russian thing. French burlesque is good to know.
So, what are you saying? Are you saying serial killer?
Nah, there's no death. There's no death attached. There's no death or sugar attached. He's good to go.
So you're saying he's neither.
Right.
I'm going to insert a toilet flushing sound to represent where your score is going.
I don't have to...
Did you predict something about...
I don't have to know my serial killer. I don't mind. I'll let this go.
That's kind of the point of
the
game.
I know.
Nobody knows.
He sounds like such a nice boy.
Was he a Russian serial killer?
I don't.
Well, you have to know these things, otherwise we're gonna be roaming around, being afraid of everyone we know. Kill named Ivan.
This may be the worst. The home team never used to win.
Gotcha.
Albert Fish.
Serial killer.
Yeah, he'll think he's legendary.
Serial killer, yes, that's
correct.
And... I don't know if
he's liking yours as a flavored cereal.
Joe Idea.
Oh, he pushed...
He's a serial character or nothing.
He pushed something, but it wasn't sugar.
So you're saying... another guess. You know, these guesses have been... My advice at this point is to stop guessing whether it's nothing or not, because you're just...
I'll stand behind my nothing. He pushed something.
All right.
I'm gonna go with serial.
He's a pusher.
It's a serial character.
Yeah.
What did Joe push?
Sure he is.
So you look Sugar Man.
That's
Joe Idea, man. I don't know. Joe Idea.
When did he push Sugar?
It's in Wikipedia. Moving along, Dennis Radar.
Dennis Radar?
Radar.
Basketball player who pissed on girls? I'm not thinking somebody different.
So are you saying neither again? Are you just gonna guess neither or the rest of these?
I think that one might be neither. It's definitely not a syrup, though.
He's a pusher.
A viable
sugar pusher. I'll stand by sugar pusher.
His name or something.
So are you saying he's neither?
No, I'm gonna say serial character.
Serial character? And you're saying?
I'm saying sugar pusher, yeah.
Actually, I have a serial killer.
Seriously?
Serial killer. Thomas Cream.
Cream?
C-R-E-A-N.
Porn actor.
Well, maybe a serial character.
Porn actor.
Well, yeah, it could be one or the other, that's right. Porn actor.
Yes.
I should decide.
Yeah. Somewhere there's a magazine.
Serial character.
Somewhere there's a magazine with featuring him and girls covered in something.
So you're saying neither again?
You're saying yeah.
Well, you're both wrong. That was a serial killer. So that's 5 more points.
Well, now you know why. Hey, Creamy. Fuck you guys! I'll show you! Where's my son? Exactly, assholes!
So, Cherry O'Leary.
Blood.
You said Cherry O'Leary?
Blood.
Yes.
Cherry O'Leary.
Cherry O'Leary.
I'm kind of tempted to say killer. Sounds like some Irish cereal.
Blood.
Oh, Cherry O'Leary went crazy again.
He's painting a picture of like in my mind. Like, this is guys at a pub. Serial killer?
Yeah.
And you said?
Blood.
That's actually a serial character. For Cheerios. The Fort of Calico Kid.
Fort of Calico?
Fort of Calico.
Blood.
Okay. We're trying you there.
And what do you say?
Blood.
Luckily for Paul, it is actually a serial character.
So what?
So you get 5 points. Points.
Oh.
He gets 5 points. He gets 5 points.
Oh, I thought he said serial killer.
It's not like he loses a point.
Yeah.
I think it's Pops. Eric Edgar Cooke.
Was that the guy? I'll state it. He's the guy who's pushing Cookie-O's. I used to eat those. They sucked massively, but they were chocolates, so...
Well, unfortunately, you're wrong. It was a serial killer.
No, seriously, that guy was pushing the cereal to him.
Nope.
Yeah.
Like, he chopped up his whole family, and it's like, hey, buy some cereal, man.
These suck. What do these taste like? Blood. Chocolate. Chocolate. These are chocolate. Don't you? Yeah.
Melvin Purvis.
Victimized high school kid.
Serial killer.
No.
What do you say?
Victimized high school kid. No blood attached. He's a neither slash, his mommy just wanted to make sure he never made it through a gym class alive.
You're saying neither.
Right, and that's just a sad fucking name.
Well, that was a serial character. He was a serial character in the other spelling of serial, because what his deal was he was a G-man, and he was a comic that was on the back of the original Post Toasties, and they would be continued. So it was a serial.
Awesome.
Serial character.
Serialized
serial character.
I mean, but he actually worked for the cereal, or he worked for another thing, and they just kind of slapped him on there and called it promo.
I don't think the cereal angle into it at all.
Well, thing is,
it's kind of a odd thing to get the parents to keep buying it for kids.
I think he's about to try to get the neither.
I'm just trying to clarify for because
he wasn't neither.
If you slap a Superman if you put the Superman comic on the back of say Sugar Pops,
so he was also on the front.
Superman?
No.
But let's say a Superman strip is on the back of a Sugar Pops box.
Okay.
Is Superman pushing Sugar Pops now? Yeah. Or I'm sorry,
section on the website of
so now he's a serial
popular
character.
Culture people, real and fictional, who represented serial characters. I specifically avoided them because I thought it would be too obvious.
Okay. Superman's on the box. He's now a serial character, right?
Well, according to this list, yes, because I don't think Superman was ever a serial killer. But moving along, I would like to point out, interestingly, about
well, he did lose it and knock a few off.
Anyway, about Melvin Purvis.
You dirty rat!
What? Crisis on Infinite Earth? Remember that?
Okay, interesting about Melvin
Burnett,
he was one of the first serial characters. The people used, the characters used to advertise serials. And it was the gimmick. It was the gimmick.
Okay, we're talking 1940s or 50s?
Probably earlier than that.
Because Melvin...
It's in that G-Man era. Because
that's 40s.
On the website, it was interesting because up until that point, serials marketed to the parents. When this came out, it became marketed to the children, which is an interesting shift in advertising because it's interesting in our society that we went from the parents making decisions to the children influencing the parents to make decisions. And that's about the same time that cereal became more sugary. So I just find that interesting. Anyway, Edward Appleton.
Sir.
Sugar butter.
No way.
You could have changed mine to nothing.
I can't change my mind to nothing. I went to school in the north. y'all, okay. Sugar Pusher, yeah, I'll stick with that.
That was neither. It was the Nobel Laureate for chemistry. Matt Mason.
Matt Mason? Blood.
That was actually a serial character for Malted Shreddies. And last but not least, Dagmar Overby.
Dagmar?
D-A-G-M-A-R. Then O-V-E-R-D-Y. Over. Bye.
Blood.
I'm just a serial character. Should be different.
That was a serial killer. And looking at the scores here, yeah, serial killer here. It was the sexy hair. 41-10. Dear God.
We rock.
So I bought him dinner. I gave him a game. Okay? Christmas? Taken care of. Thinking ahead, paying off.
Wow. That was a ritual slaying right there.
Or it could have been a Christmas gift. Okay? When the angels and fairies and whoever comes to say, like, you know, who's been good this year? Nailed it. No coal in my stocking.
I just don't know what to say. So, yeah, we're going to play the Breakfast Club by MERS because it's very appropriate.
I love eating cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. I love Fruity Pebbles when I'm watching my cartoons. I love Super Sugar Crisp when I'm watching my cartoons. I love Count Chocula when I'm watching my cartoons.
Let's go. Pour the milk in the bowl. Make sure it's ice cold. Hold my hand on the top so it won't overflow. Forget playing outside with my friends from school. It's Saturday morning, fool. But you know it ain't cool. Waking up first, cause all that be on the tube. Cause the snorks and smurfs. Kissy first, strawberry shortcake or worse. But coming up next was my boy Johnny Quest. Sim Sim Salabim. But Fat Albert was the best. The Brown Hornet picture pages made me wanna write graffiti. I had to do it when Davy and Goliath couldn't see me. Always trying to do right, they be hanging out with Dudley. But I watched Righty Races rooting for my dog Mutley. You know what really bugged me? What? The Cobots was whack. Man, they bit the Transformers. And that's a well known fact. But
after these messages, we'll be right back. I love eating cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Frosted Flakes when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat alphabets when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love King Vitamins when I'm watching my cartoons.
I remember Teen Wolf tried to go vegetarian. Told Thundar he was a sick barbarian for eating tiger sharks with his Ninja Turtle suit. Because of that, the Herculoids had to kick him out the group. Yo, we used to be drama on the after-school scene. Tiny Toon started beefing with Beverly Hills team. But the get-along gang would come through and make amends. And by the end of the week, they were all super friends. But G.I. Joe would get them riled up again. Guns out, looking for weapons of mass destruction. Harassing Silverhawks for little or nothing. Of course, the care Bears wouldn't have the heart to do something. I call Voltron on these inhumanoids. But Centurions wouldn't let the Joes be destroyed. You know, even in cartoon, Americana can't be tacked. But at least you know now, and no one's half the battle.
I love to eat cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat honeycombs when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat Cookie Crisp when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat Fruit Loops when I'm watching my cartoons.
Now right before we go, I think you got the right to know about She-Ra. On the low, she was a Thundercat hoe. Orko tried to cover up and say she got a man, but he lied. It was really one of Jim's holograms. After that, how God knows he went around the back and found out Josie selling pussy to cats. Charging 3-2-1 for a little contact, because Hong Kong Fooey had the illest pimp slap. Her sweet jabber jaws went to the highest bid, but what made it worse is she incorporated kids. So Marshall Bravestar came through with Captain Power and vowed the G-Force would shut him down within the hour, until Chippendale and the Rescue Rangers came through to save them hoes with a mouse named Danger. To make things stranger, she still gets a hoe. Let a hoe be a hoe, and that's one to grow on.
I love eating cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love crushed berry when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love Rice Krispies when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Golden Grams when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Apple Jacks when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Cheerios when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Trix when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I like Captain Crunch when I'm watching my cartoons.
What?
And you know I can't live without my cereal.
Yeah, that's it.
And you know I can't live without my cereal.
$3, stay close by me and hold tight. Sing and shout, let's wrap around the pound and hold tight. Shut your eyes, girl, you set me up for sigh. Forget the other guys.
You'll never fall. Each time you go, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight.
Girl, you'll set me in my bell and hold tight. Can't move back, swing it low, swing it high. We're gonna make the sky.
You'll never fall, it's time you fall. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight.
Chef, just wrap around the bell and hold tight. Shut your eyes, girl, you set me up for forget the other guys.
You'll never fall. Each time you go, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight.
Mick and Titch with Hold Tight, and that's from the soundtrack to
Death Proof.
Death Proof,
the movie that our podcast leader has yet to see.
Oh, you haven't seen it? I thought you did.
I've seen Death Proof. I've seen Terror Planet.
Right. Okay. Well, there was a really cool car crash in it.
The best car crash scene you'll ever see in your entire life, more than likely.
So what did you like about Death Proof?
Death Proof, I liked the detailed explanations of the stuntman business and the comeuppance received by the bad guy in the end. Yeah, those are the two major points that were the good ones.
Was it a pretty surprising movie? Like, did he...
Surprising, yes.
Twisted around? Yeah, that's what I thought. It was like, it's kind of a typical kind of road horror movie in a way, but... And it, Quentin Tarantino still manages to surprise you.
Well, I was expecting a lot of tiptoeing around a house, but, you know, because that's what the beginning of the movie implied, but when it went to the road and stayed there, that was nice. And, of course, the way he handled the whole thing, which was started A, go to B, started A version 2.0, and continue from there. And, of course, as much as we love Quentin Tarantino digging into the past and reminding us of things and reminding us of, so, like, serial characters that, you know, we never knew existed, like, you know, and giving us Crafty Country's full name. Death Proof did a lot of that, and it was kind of like watching a parachute settle to the ground after the jumper had walked away from it. Little draggy here and there. But, of course, I guess why the car crashes were so dramatic to make up for all that. Yeah, I like bars because they got drinks and women in them and stuff. Really? Yeah. That's how you feel. Yes. I concur. Good.
And to I think the dialogue was a little bit better than that, but...
Well, the dialogue was a lot better, but the pace was about there. It's just like, you know... It's like watching somebody, you know, put spaghetti, you know, into the tip of a bottle for about a half hour. A lot of...
I didn't understand that metaphor.
Okay, take like a plate of spaghetti and then put it into an Aquafina bottle. Take your time and then wonder why you bother.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, it says a lot of dialogue. But if you like hot chicks and like 70s hot pants, you probably won't notice the dialogue. You probably won't know that there was dialogue. Because there's a lot of hot asses dangling out from underneath, you know, a lot of like...
Shorts.
Yeah, shortettes. Okay, Daisy Duke would have been, you know, wondering, yeah, that's like, wow, those things must be hot, they're covering a lot of ass, you know? There was nothing there but booty cheeks and half a back pocket and a belt. Maybe, in most cases.
And, to go with some good Quentin Tarantino dialogue, too.
It all kind of comes together. The expected Quentin Tarantino foot fetishing.
Foot fetish?
On more than one occasion.
That's like the whole movie.
Yeah.
Quinn's got a foot thing?
He's got a foot fetish.
He's got a foot fetish.
Think about it. Pulp Fiction. The conversation about giving a woman a foot massage.
Okay.
In this one, one of the main characters is like licking his finger and then like touching the outline of this woman's foot. It's like so overtly foot fetishy.
The opening of the movie is a pair of women's bare feet on the screen. And it starts out that way. This movie is like far gone beyond any of his previous foot fetish.
I never really noticed it before. You're right. Like Kill Bill, where Uma Thurman's sitting there trying to make her feet work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
didn't really touch on Reservoir Dogs, though.
Yeah. He wasn't quite into
it. Well, there's a bunch of guys.
Fetish yet. So. I think in Pulp Fiction, also, she did her old dance thing, barefoot.
Yeah, well, also, like, you know, isn't there a point where she's working on her nail polish and then?
Mm-hmm. In Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
Maybe. You see her bare feet a lot, though.
Yeah. What else did you want to say about Death Proof?
It's cool. You should check it out, man.
Movie that everything gets turned on its head at the midpoint. It's amazing. It's like two movies in one.
Speaking as a tattoo artist, and I think you can attest to this, it's good. It's good for mesmerizing customers. A lot of customers I've tattooed have yet to see Death Proof, and of course, chicks in cars with legs and asses and, you know, exposed in very tight shirts.
So they're not like amputees.
Technically, no.
We're talking about our customers, or are we talking about the women?
You said they had legs. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, well, one of them starts out not being an amputee. Dot, dot, dot. That's all I'm saying. Now.
She doesn't become an amputee, I don't think.
She doesn't become much of anything after, but I'm getting ahead. My point is, if you're a tattoo artist and you want to keep your customers quiet, mesmerized, and totally enthralled by something, so they can't keep trying to look over at their tattoo and move their arm around and talk to their friends and squirm around and, you know, allow their drunk fathers to enter the room. Death Proof. Nice, mesmerizing movie.
I will keep that in mind when I open my tattoo shop. So, do we all play this on it?
Let's see if we can stump. Let's see if we can stump Sir Mildred again. Yeah.
so the first song, the one that he was supposed to guess that he didn't guess correctly, was Tipsy? Well, I read it. I'm not going to try.
Oh, man.
What's the name of the artist, Tipsy?
Tipsy is the artist, and the song was...
I'll spell it, then I'll pronounce it T-U-A-T-A-R-A, Twatara.
Twatara?
You pronounce it, you win.
We followed that up with Yoko Kanno, Cats on Mars.
The advice column.
I'm really flat, and it's really annoying. I've heard the whole squeezing and putting toothpaste on it idea, but I don't like it going, I don't like it going sore every, any ideas of what works? I don't even, I have no, what, flat?
Flat-chested.
I'm feeling like.
She's about ass and titties. Well, I
think this is a good idea.
Maybe it's just me.
Your boobs will be minty fresh.
I've never heard of this toothpaste thing.
I'm sorry. What is the toothpaste thing?
I've never heard that suggestion before.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I heard just rolling up a sock and stuffing the sock in there.
That'll make
Do you think she means that she's going to put, like, tubes of toothpaste in her bra?
No, like, toothpaste on her skin to try and stimulate her skin.
That's what I thought, but I'd never heard that. Like, what, is there something in toothpaste that makes boobs grow that I didn't know about?
Mm-mm, not that I heard of. And being the tenth girl here.
So, her problem is the fact that she's flat, and who's complaining about it?
She is.
Okay.
It doesn't say how old she is.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're catching hell, why sweat it? I'm a professional swimmer, ski for a living.
I mean, high school's pretty nasty place.
Yeah.
I would suggest, even if you are catching hell, just get over it.
You know,
deal.
Oh God.
I can tell you this 100% from guys I know. There are guys who dig, like small, like flat. And small.
They live in Japan.
No, like, we live here in the United States.
They want a little boy.
No, they just don't do the whole. And I'm one of those guys that I stop at a certain point. Yeah, you know, once again, there is such a thing as too big with me. There are guys I know who like, no, it's never too big, man. Can be like five times the size of her head, still not big enough. Yeah, I hate those guys. Those guys should be destroyed.
If you're old enough to be worrying about sex and, you know, the way you look to guys, if you're flat-chested, find a couple nice, quiet, nerdy guys, bang the hell out of them, get them to worship you, and you'll forget. You know, you'll be so tied up in managing those few that, you know.
Put it this way. While receiving a blowjob, no man cares about the size of the breasts.
Exactly.
That's comforting pop, I guess.
In a weird sort of way, yeah. That's sort of,
all right.
That's our advice. Give him a blowjob.
Well, I know the symptoms of gonorrhea. Sorry if I spelled it wrong.
And they did.
And it's burned like 3 times while I was going to the bathroom, and my urine smells really strong. Could this be gonorrhea? I know this question sounds nasty, but I'm scared. Scared!
So,
this is where we quote the great Slick Rick and go see the doctor. Oh, yeah, it was. Either way, take a tip from old school hip hop.
Not see a doctor. Yeah. Usually, if you have something where you're burning when you urinate, it's usually if you're presented with two options. One of the options is to go seek help from the medical, you know, community at large, or take a moment to write an email to an online advice call. So I think the best thing you could do, given the choices of seeking medical help and writing to an online advice call, I think writing to an online advice call is one of the best things you can do.
That and don't pee.
You print the response out, rub it on the afflicted area, and it fixes you.
And you get all kind of fucking paper cuts from that. Ouch.
Look it up. It's in the Bible. In the Bible.
Paper cuts?
In the Bible.
How do you give a good lap dance? Not what it is, but how to make it good.
Watch Death Proof.
Yeah, watch Death Proof.
Or find some little geeky shit who's never going to get another one in his life. Give it to him.
And watch Death Proof with him.
Yeah. If he survives his heart attack, there you go.
Seriously, I think Death Proof, it'll get you laid. Either way, lap dance or no lap dance.
Or better yet, if you're female, give a lap dance to a chick in front of a guy. Oh, please. Right. You'll be worshipped from that point on.
So, our response to how to give a good lap dance is to watch Death Proof. Okay, you know, I haven't seen Death Proof yet, and now I want to see it so that I can give a good lap dance. So I'm going to watch Death Proof while wearing it.
We double plugged that movie, that's great. We plugged it twice.
You plugged it twice.
Woohoo!
Oh.
God.
Not going to jump at it.
I mean...
Too much?
It's... just so beautiful in its simple elegance. It's, you almost don't want to, you just don't want to disturb it. You just want to watch it, take some photographs, and, you know, Crocky, that was great. I'm going to go step on this.
I'll leave that west.
I hate parkies.
Well, I didn't mean to play this song on the podcast for a while. It's absolutely nothing to do with what we were talking about, and it's really soothing and relaxing. It's probably not going to help you wake up. But it's by Sufjan Stevens. The song's called For the Widows in Paradise, For the Fatherless in Ypsilanti.
Thank you.
Who was that?
Oh, I don't know. That was like a lot of stuff I've heard. But, I don't know. I don't know who the...
Who is it?
King of the Jungle?
Is the album.
Soha?
Well, I'll say Soulja, but either way. Yeah. And the song is Fade to Black.
Movie reviews for movies we've never seen.
Resident Evil Extinction.
Ah, one I definitely haven't seen.
Is that the one that takes place in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Mila Jovovich returns to the big screen for her third go-round as an ass-kicking machine in the Resident Evil flicks.
No thanks.
I'll buy the games. Fuck the movies.
I actually was intrigued by that one. Just something about it, I don't know. It looked much better than Part 2. Because it was so... Such a divertive left turn for that series. Like, at that point, it has nothing to do with the game anymore, and they've gone into their own little creative world as this, like, post-apocalypse Las Vegas that's, like, in that Firefly kind of universe, you know? It takes place in the Wild West, but takes place in kind of a
few... In space.
Time. Well...
On a fish ship.
There's a danger with movies like and games like that.
Mad Maxian, but that also takes place in the future.
Six.
I'm gonna go with, yeah, probably six or, you know, somewhere around there.
Because, simply because I have not seen the first or the second one, or had any desire to, really, I'm gonna give it a three.
Yeah, you know, we liked the first one.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
This is a genre and a series where you can make whatever movie you want as long as you slap the name of the game in there somewhere. It still counts, and that's a danger, things like that. Final Fantasy, for example, taught us that you can get the money by slapping the word Final Fantasy on it. That doesn't mean that you have to do anything with the, you know, the previous games, and it's just a way to milk, you know, the money from people without them knowing how the hell you did it. Two stars.
Jeez.
Two stars for the expected special effects. And that's it. Why did I get married? Tyler Perry stage play about the ups and downs of marriage is adapted.
Right, you can stop there, Tyler
Conflict
Perry.
Conflict comes in the form of a hottie homewrecker. Jill Scott and Janet Jackson star. Ooh.
Ooh. When your star power consists of Jill Scott and Janet Jackson. You know, Janet Jackson, admittedly, not that bad in Poetic Justice, but at the same time, you know, she's not, it's not like you're going to ever hear, you know, in the same sentence, Janet Jackson's name and Meryl Streep. And you'll probably never hear the words Janet Jackson with the word and the Oscar, the phrase the Oscar goes to in the same sentence. Unless Janet Jackson is the person giving the Oscar.
Well, we're talking about a Tyler Perry movie, man.
Who the hell is Tyler Perry?
Like,
waiting to we've reverted.
He's a favorite of my mom. Basically,
Die of a Mad Black Woman.
Yeah.
So basically, the really cliched, you know, kind of...
like a grown man in, like, fat suit drag.
Yeah, basically, he just took a bunch of, like, stories about black women and the homes they live in and adapted from stage, became very popular with the 60 to 70-year-old mother crowd, and as a result, started making movies that have done extremely well for anybody who enjoyed Barbershop 2.
Wow.
I like Barbershop 2.
And you'll love.
I'm going to say 5 stars.
Yeah, 5 stars because it will be well written, perfect for the genre. But it's a lot like Circus Peanuts. Either you like them or you don't. Quick, movie number 3.
Movie number 3.
Yes. Across the Universe, director Julie Taymor's trippy 60s musical finds two tweens in love and protesting together.
I hate that phrase, by the way. Tweens. It's one of those words like blog. It's just for some reason it's a very existence. It just runs me the wrong way.
You don't like the word blog?
No, I don't like the word blog.
What about the word pod?
What do you call it? Like online journals?
But blog.
Ah.
Okay. What's a tween, first of all?
Somebody not a child but not a teenager yet, but between area.
Puberty victim.
But I actually have been looking forward to that. I'm going to go like around 8 stars from that. I've seen the trailers for it, okay. And it looks very well directed, gorgeous cinematography, interesting story, and well acted.
It's a musical.
It's a musical.
Yeah.
With prominent Beatles thing going on.
Are you going to use actual
Beatles songs? I am shocked and amazed you don't know about this movie.
No, I do.
You're as fan
heard
as you are. But, and also that you're not as excited about it as I am.
Well, we're really tired right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they using actual Beatles recordings then?
No.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
5 stars because so what?
Check it out. I'm going to go with yours, 8.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I trust you.
6.
See the trailer for us. 6.
Okay, finally. Rendition. The CIA kidnaps a suspected terrorist at the airport and sends him out of the country for a brutal round of interrogations. The man's wife, played by Reese Witherspoon, and a new agent, Jake Gyllenhaal, know something is wrong.
Jake's been getting robbed.
I'm going to say 3 because it's probably just liberal claptrap, you know.
Liberal. Another anti, you know.
Oh, wait. Is that the one starring Tommy Lee Jones?
Not according to this review, but who knows?
That sounds like it's trying to rip off that movie coming out. With Tommy Lee Jones in it? About the one where his son's supposed to come back from Iraq. And
well, you know, there is this whole war going on, so I don't know if it's necessarily a rip-off one or the other. It could just be they were influenced by this same thing. I know it's kind of obscure and everything. It's not really in the public eye or anything.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
7 stars because it's not Why Did I Get Married.
So you got more stars, right?
Based
so
on that,
you
yeah.
You got stars for not being another movie that you think.
Okay. I like the fact that we celebrate, you know, African American culture, but can we not do it by having overweight black women go show enough at each other? Okay? Not yeah. a big fan of that.
I'd rather watch like Friday or
Next Friday.
If it was fat black woman going, "You got knocked the fuck out, man."
I'd be right there. Yeah.
Okay. We both spend time on Broad Street in Augusta. You've seen it. We don't have to pay to see it. It's available for viewing for free all weekend long.
That's beautiful. He's absolutely right. I don't know why I didn't think about that. Yeah. Tonight, as I was walking to the shop, there's like this woman walking down, and she's like, "You don't want to start no shit with me, because I'm not going to fuck out of blah, 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 blah." I'm like, damn. Well, and she's talking to no one.
She's talking to a well-known drug dealer, but we won't go there.
No, there was... maybe she was, but she was walking in one direction. There's nobody there. She's looking at... She's just talking to the air in front of her.
Maybe
the comments were directed at the person behind her.
They were.
But to me, it looked like she was talking to anybody. She's walking straight. You want to start no shit with me? I'll fuck his ass up. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, damn.
But I'm just trying to remember if that's the same lady I watched give two blowjobs to 2 guys in a Ford F-150.
So, yeah. Let's play a song.
I want to play something.
What do you want to play?
I don't know yet.
Tiger Woods by Dan Bird.
I got big balls, big old balls, big as grapefruits, big as pumpkins, yes sir, yes sir. And I'm a really good days, they swell to the size of small dogs. My balls are as big as small dogs, but it ain't bragging if it's true, yes sir, yes sir. It ain't bragging if it's true, Muhammad Ali said that. When he was a young man, back when he was Cassius Clay, before he fought too many fights and left his brain inside the ring. And sometimes I wish I was Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods. Sometimes I wish I was Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods. I got a friend whose goal in life was to one day go down on Madonna. That's all he wanted, that was all, to one day go down on Madonna. And when my friend was 34, he got his wish in Rome one night. He got to go down on Madonna in Rome one night in some hotel. And ever since he's been depressed, 'cause life is shit from here on in.
And all our friends just shake their heads and say too soon, too soon, too soon. He went down on Madonna too soon, too young, too soon, too soon. And it ain't bragging if it's true. Yes, sir, it ain't bragging if it's true. Muhammad Ali said that back when he was trash as clay, before he fought too many fights and left his brain inside the ring. And sometimes I wish I was Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods. Sometimes I wish I was Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods. If certain girls don't look at you, it means that they like you a lot. If other girls don't look at you, it just means they're ignoring you. How can you know, how can you know which is which, who's doing what? I guess that you can ask them, which one are you, baby? Do you like me or are you ignoring me? Do you like me or are you ignoring me? Do you like me or are you ignoring me? And all you need to do that is one good pair of big balls. Balls as big as grapefruits, balls as big as pumpkins, balls as big as mine. But even though my balls are big, sometimes I wish they were bigger, even bigger. Big as the wheels on tractors, big as the golden arches, big as the Golden Gate Bridge, big as the state of Kansas, big as Mars and Jupiter, big as a swing of Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods. We'll be right back.
to podcast number 42. Really nice to have Paul back again. You know, of course, we got any shout-outs? Shout-out to Chris.
Shout-out to Chris.
Don't lose
Shout-out to the Augusta law enforcement who have their shit together despite having to deal with drunken rednecks. Shouts out to young man who has to put up with his alcoholic father. Good luck. Hopefully things will improve. If you decide to change states, get married, have a nice life, settle down, and introduce the grandkids to their father or your father once so you can get it out of the way and never have to do it again, feel free. Dad, you drunken asshole, enter a program or step in front of a large moving vehicle. Your choice. I vote vehicle, preferably train.
We're still talking about the same.
Yeah.
These are his shout-outs.
It sounds like rehashed the stories we was earlier.
Make a call back to earlier? Why would somebody do that in the podcast? Oh my god.
Let's see. And shout out to
Al Gore for winning the Nobel Prize.
Al Gore for winning the Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
By the time
for the movie,
it'll be really old. It's already old.
Wait, he won it for the movie?
I don't care if it's old news.
He won it for raising awareness of global warming.
Ergo, the movie. Well, yeah. Shout out to, what was your guy, Mr. Lovejoy, who discovered...
America?
No, the guy from the list that you gave us. Mr. Neither. You know, shout out to him. Mr. Lovejoy.
The Nobel laureate.
Yes.
Yes.
I forgot.
Appleton. There you go.
And Cheerio Mick.
Cheerio.
Cheerio Larry.
Cheerio Yeti.
And all the guys in the 50 decided to put sugar on kids by, you know, getting the kids to torture their parents.
Good work there. Some good
these are not very good shout-outs.
Eat Grape Nuts. I'm going to give some shout-outs.
Oh, well, give a good shout-out. Give us an example.
I'd like to get some fuck yous to Grape Nuts. That's not even food.
That's a shout out.
It's better than Kashi.
What the hell's Kashi?
Kashi Gummy Crunch is like one step away from Grape Nuts.
This is good too.
Sure.
It's more expensive though.
More fiber.
It's not as good as the Keepy Wokey Baki cereal though, which is also not as good as the Tweaky Nami Blah Blah Blah. And then, you know, there's always the blah 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 blah, and you know, I mean, you're just making this shit up, right?
No, I'm not.
I think Kashi's a brand. The Bryonics. Although they have a lot of cereals.
I would rather be branded with a branding iron. Well, thanks for listening to podcast number 42. I'm EBA. Podcast.shapelessbass.com is the website. You can email us with this thingy right here.
Please remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
There is no escape.
Bye. Thanks, Paul.
Eat sugar. Go ahead.
You ever woke up on the wrong side of the bed and had your mother ask you to shit your post taxes?
Wow. Moving along, because
hopefully there was no alcohol involved.
New fist in your
I think you assume that these little sayings that your mom say every day. I'm pretty, it tends to be the case. It's not.
Take a moment to breathe.